It's big announcement time.
Drum roll, please.
We are going on tour.
Just, yay!
Northern News, live around the North.
Of course it's around the North.
We're not doing any Southern dates on this tour.
No way. We are going to the big ones, our big ones in the North. We're going Sheffield.
23rd of June.
We're going Hull.
26th of June.
We're going Leeds.
27th of June.
And we're rounding it off in Manchester.
On the 28th of June.
What a week.
Oh my God. We've done some live shows in Edinburgh and London. And we love them so much.
They're so much fun.
We do little fun headlines. There's slides. There's visuals.
Oh, it's brilliant. We can't wait to do it. And we can't wait to see you there. We'll see you in person. You'll see us in person.
You'll see our faces. You'll see whatever attempt at merch I've cobbled together in a shed.
So get your tickets now for the Northern News live tour at plosive.co.uk. That is plosive.co.uk.
We're going to get chunked out of our beans.
Let's do it. Hello and welcome to Northern News, a podcast with me, Amy Gledhill.
And me, Ian Smith. I come from the northern town of Goole.
And you might be able to tell from my accent, I come from Hull.
And to our shame, we have been living in London now for ages.
Too long. And we want to catch up with all the news that's been going on up north. This is
Northern News.
Hello and welcome to Northern News.
I've still got a bit of muffin in my mouth.
You're always eating.
And I'm ready for podcasts.
You're always eating in the pod.
When there's a muffin on a plate and it's near my microphone, I'm really not listening to anything that's been said. I'm just looking at the muffin thinking, I'd like a bit of that.
And you're not wrong, but that's why I cannot bring in a little nibble. You're very good with bringing in a little nibble on a little plate, very sophisticated, and just popping it next to you. I couldn't be doing that.
But I feel like I'm waterboarding myself. Because it's just torture. If I was someone torturing someone, I'd just get a lovely Gale's muffin, put it on a plate next to them, and just out of reach of their arms.
Yeah.
And I'd keep coming in and going, oh, I had one of them earlier. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
That's the best muffin I've ever had. And then lock the door. Night, night.
Night, night, dickhead.
Yeah, I think I'd be good at torturing people.
Well, can I tell you about what I've been up to this week? Because it fits in with this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've been torturing people.
Mm.
No, I've been interviewing kids.
Oh.
Well, let me tell you. I have been interviewing them for Clang, a Radio 4 series, with children from Cumbria, right? So the premise of the show is children ask us questions that we think we should know the answer to, like what is electricity, right? Yeah. And we try and explain it. We can't explain it, so we go digging and finding out the facts, then we bring it back to him.
It's a funny idea.
It's a lovely idea. Mm. It's lovely. But the children on both recording sessions, one child, but a different child each time, has gone super dark. And I didn't expect it to go quite as dark as it
and
did.
And are these not in the radio series? They're too dark for radio? Or?
Well, one of them, we have made the episode about death. Because he was fixated on killing my co-host, Christopher Cantrell, who's been on the pod.
Yeah.
He's been on the pod. He's a friend of the pod.
And he's alive and well at
he's
the time
alive
of recording.
At the time of recording, he's alive and well. Mm. So in the first recording, this child is talking about killing, like obsessively killing Chris and doing a kind of monster voice saying like, I'm going to kill you tonight. And we'd be like, okay. And what do you think about diggers? You like diggers, don't you? And he'd be like, no, I just like death. And we're like, okay, no worries. So we made that episode about death, right?
What do you think prompted it from the kid?
Well, I thought it's anxiety, isn't it? It's dealing with a stressful situation. There's a lot of microphones, you're chatting to adults. It felt very formal. And we learned a lot from that recording session. And we were like, when we go back, we're not sitting on chairs. Let's sit on the floor. Let's make it comfy. Let's chill everybody out.
Microphones hidden in a beanbag.
Get them in a muffin, a girl's muffin. Just out of reach.
Yeah.
And we went back over the weekend and there was this gorgeous girl. She was only 6. And in the first recordings, she was a little angel. Life and soul. Very light and funny, light-hearted, very playful.
Yeah.
And then we went back over the weekend and honestly, I don't know what's happened there, but the entire time was she became obsessed with killing Chris.
I think you've got to look at Chris here as maybe the problem. What's he giving off to kids where they're like, we've got to kill this man?
Well, this is the thing. You know, like how some dogs can smell like a certain illness or cats can see ghosts. These are all scientific facts.
Yeah.
Well, Chris is giving off some sort of vibe that kids think, I need this man dead. So we'd be like trying to talk to her about things like London, like what she thinks London's like. She's never been. And she'd say like, I don't know, but I'm going to kill Chris tonight. I'm going to cut his head off. And we'd be like, okay, but what do you think London's like? Do you think it's busy? I don't care because I'm going to cut Chris's head off and I'm going to cut his hair off and I'm going to put his hair down his neck and I'm going to choke him. We'd be like, But and you only get a certain amount of time to record with a kid and the producer's like going, you got to get something else out of them.
Yeah.
They can't just talk about killing Chris.
But you can't tell him off either. You know,
no, you can't
say, do you want to stop talking about beheading him?
No, you just have to go, oh, yeah, no, I could see why you'd want to. But why don't we talk about doggies? What's your favourite doggy? I don't like doggies. I just like beheading Chris, cutting his head off and putting it in the street.
How's Chris feeling at this moment?
He was shaken to the core. He was shaken to the core, as you would be.
Yeah, because it's happened to him again.
Again. You think the first one, you know, and I empathise with the children. It's not their fault. It's clearly like an anxiety response or whatever. Mm. But you'd think maybe one time they'd want to kill Chris, one time they'd want to kill me. No, both times Chris.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like laser focus. It's like from the off.
Mm.
It's like you're dead. And she kept saying, you'll be dead tomorrow. You're going to die tonight. And then he'd try and make it like hype, but like, oh, I really wanted to go to Harry Potter World. And she went, okay, you can go on your trip and then I'll kill you.
I hate the sound of this kid.
She's lovely is the thing.
Is she?
It's Chris that's the problem. Yeah, it's got to be. Because they're good. They're genuinely like brilliant, lovely kids.
Yeah.
And what have you been up to this week?
Not much, really. I thought I'd just go on like a news website and tell you what I think about what the main story is. Yeah, so Birmingham City Council's declared itself in financial distress.
Mm.
So I guess my thoughts on that, how has that happened? Someone's not been
siphoning
managing the money properly.
Someone's not been managing the money, G.
Yeah. So that's what I think.
I think they've spent it on parties.
Probably, yeah.
Big old disco. If you're a big council, you need a bigger party. It's disco time. Come on down. We got the disco ball. We got the buffet for 600 to 800 people.
It's only costing us 50 quid a head. Sure, there were some disabled access ramps that should have been built in the town. But look at the food we put on here.
You got your sausage rolls. You got your cold sausage rolls. You got your mini sausage rolls.
It's a sausage roll themed party.
It's a sausage roll themed party.
I don't trust...
Twice a week they put this on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Local councils are so bad at spending money. Gould Council genuinely did this. I mean, it's funny, but it is serious as well. They wanted a little island in between, like a big crossing, and they wanted it like to have disabled access, but they put a lamppost like in the middle so you couldn't get past it. And then everyone was like, no one can fucking use this, you idiots. Like, all local councillors really want is to have something with their name on it. Like,
a parking space.
Yeah. They want a parking space. They want to be able to say, oh, well, I introduced a new door at the leisure centre. The Christine Smith door, we called it. Put a little plaque on. This door was conceived by Christine Smith.
And actually, when you open it, it's just a wall. And the door, if it is open, does block access to the pool and does become a fire hazard. But I've put it in.
Yeah. Have any of you put in a door? No, because you're the lay people of the town. And I'm Christine Smith.
Is that your mum's name?
No, no.
My mum's name's Christine.
Oh.
And your mum's
name's... Maybe subconsciously, I've amalgamated...
Yeah.
Amalgamated.
There you go.
£6 for a pint. Amy, what's been going on in the news?
Please
save me from this hell.
The story's from Wigan Today. The headline is Census 2021. So obviously this has come out this week in 2023, but you always look back at a census.
You what? Thanks, Amy. Sometimes I look forward to the 2034 census. It's interesting to see if I'll still be alive. I'm not on the census.
Oh, I am.
Best live my life for the fullest.
I've moved to Sheffield. Fantastic.
Yeah, I wonder why that's going to happen.
No, I mean, like, they do the census and then it takes a little while to, like, process the information.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So while this is 2021, it's actually the most current census we have to date.
Really?
I mean, I don't know that for definite, but it feels right, doesn't it? In my
bones,
it feels right.
Say it.
Census. I did that. My mum used to deliver the census and I'd go with her. And now every time I read the word census, I hear my mum going, census, 2021. One in six households in Wigan is in highest social class.
Mm.
Oh, that's what I thought. And I went, oh. And then I thought, is that good or bad?
I guess one in six isn't amazing, is it?
One in six, but in the highest social class.
How many classes do they have, though?
One, two, three,
I guess the big
four.
Is how many are in the lowest. Because often you have like, oh, five are in the lowest, one's in the biggest. And you think, why are the four in the lowest not murdering and taking the one in the biggest for everything they've got? I'm sorry.
It's an uprising episode. We knew
we've
it was coming.
We've got an uprising. I'd love an uprising.
If you're listening and you're working class, take arms. We're doing it tonight.
Think of the person in your local town who's got the biggest house. Take it.
Take it. Let's take it tonight.
Knock on the door and be like, I've been listening to a podcast.
Census. Got ya. Not really. I've come to take your wealth. Back to the census. It may well be considered the epitome of the working class town.
Mm.
We're talking about Wigan, just to refresh the memory. But one in six of Wigan's households is classed as being among the most privileged in society.
Wow.
New census figures suggest. Do you know what the classes are?
No.
Well, they seem to have been labelled by someone who's having a bit of a mental breakdown.
Oh, okay.
I know what it is. It's, do you know if you're like about to be sick or you really need the toilet and you're just like, oh, just put anything and you sort of messed it up a bit and you're like, that'll do, go.
So they really need the toilet and
they really
gone.
Need the toilet and they're like, well, what can we call these four social grade classifications? A, B.
All right.
That's one.
What does that stand for?
Absolute bollocks.
So that's the lowest one?
That is the highest one.
Oh, absolute brilliant.
Absolute brilliant. You've got A, B, then you've got C, one. Get fucked. Pick letters or numbers and you bloody stick to it.
Fucking hell.
A, B, C, one. C2. Oh, you've got a pattern going now, have you?
Yeah.
Is it going to be C3? No, it's DE. Get fucked!
DE. I guess they're basically, so that must be, AB is your upper class.
Yeah.
And then so many people are probably middle class now. They're like, right, well, rather than do it, let's just put C1. C1 is middle class, but good.
Good middle
C2,
class.
C2.
Bad middle class.
Middle class, but you're on the edge of having fuck all.
Yeah.
You've got a air fryer. But you're 1 second away from gambling it away on the horses.
That's me. I guess I'm C2.
Yeah.
I just think this is an absolute bollocks system. A, B, C1, C2, D, E.
Mm.
So A, B is the higher. D, E is semi-skilled and unskilled manual occupations and the unemployed.
Semi-skilled. Semi-skilled?
Yeah, you got your semi-skimmed.
What is semi-skilled?
Full fat.
It's like someone who's like, I'm a builder, but you're not going to want to go in that house. I built your house, to be fair to me, I built it. But fuck me, I wouldn't go in it. And unskilled is that, I wouldn't know where to start with that.
Yeah, but semi-skilled, I suppose, is like the Christine Smith door. It's like you put a door on, but it's wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Semi-skilled, so it's like such a neg, isn't it?
I reckon there'll be jobs there where they're going like, oh, what's semi-skilled? And it'll be a job that you're like, the person saying it's semi-skilled, you're like, do you want to go and do it then?
Couldn't do
it.
Oh,
well, I haven't had
years.
The training yet. Well, if you've got to be trained for it, then it's skilled,
it's
isn't
skilled.
It?
It's skilled.
Unless you can just walk in and do it.
A, B, C1, C2.
Little fun game, though. As you're listening.
Oh, yeah.
You can think to yourself, is my job semi-skilled? Before we reveal the answers, have a little think in your heads.
Is it semi-skilled or semi-skimmed? We've reached the section of the podcast, semi-skilled or semi-skimmed?
Get me trumpet out again. So semi-skilled windows, doors and conservatory fitter. Semi-skill that. HGV technician. A semi-skilled slaughter operative.
Oh, lordy lord.
I guess, yeah, I would actually. I'd go as far as saying it is only a semi-skill to kill a cow.
No. I'm sorry. If I said to you, in the next 5 minutes, you have to kill a cow, you'd want some direction on how to do that.
Well, I'd want to be near a cow. I reckon if you couldn't kill a cow in 5 minutes, I don't want to do this, but I'm just saying, if there's a cow in here now,
yeah,
5 minutes, give me three.
No way.
Give me three,
no,
I'll knock it out in one.
No, you wouldn't.
No, to be fair.
You couldn't. You could put me in a room with a cow all day long. I couldn't kill it.
But that's only because we've got a conscience.
No, it's not. It's because we've got conscience and no skills or way to do it in a humane way.
Oh, it's got to be humane.
Or a
killing a cow for no reason. Fucking hell. I'm so sorry about this episode, actually. Anyway, Amy, what's your point? There's some rich people in Wigan.
No, so I read that and I was like, okay, right, so 1 in 6, I thought it was pretty high.
Mm.
But I don't know a lot about the, I didn't know about the social grading classification system. And then you read down more in the article and you realise that's not high. It's actually lower than most places in England.
Mm.
17% of people in Wigan were ranked in the highest band, where the household reference person, so the household reference person is the person, you have to pick one person in your household who's between, I think it's 18 and 64, who earns the money, and you use them and their qualifications and what their job is. Yeah, so in Wigan, 17% were ranked in the highest band, where the household reference person was in higher or an intermediate occupation.
Mm.
But 17% isn't actually, when you think of it like that, you're like, oh, that's not that much. It says that was well below the average across England and Wales of 23%.
That's well below.
It's well below.
Fucking hell.
But it is because London has the highest number of people in that top bracket, and that's at 28.4%.
Isn't it?
So if you think the difference between, like, London and the national average, 23 to 28, and then Wigan is 23 to 17, it's like that again. It is actually well below.
Yeah.
Of the top 20 ranked authorities, so this is like the posh ones.
Yeah.
The places that are doing well, 15 were in London and South East.
Mm.
Come on, we know this. We
and
know
that's
this
why
stuff.
We moved down to London.
It's a tale as old as time.
To get in that top bracket.
Well, yeah. And I was reading down, do you know where the worst place is?
Oh.
The very worst.
Hull?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, very worst, 10% of people.
Oh, come on.
Come on, 10%. And then I was reading more and it said, London in particular faces stubbornly high poverty, substantially driven by high housing costs. And it's notable that places like Camden, Hackney and Islington are among the least happy parts of the country, according to wellbeing surveys. Okay, so I've moved from Hull to Islington.
Yeah.
So I've moved from one of the worst places financially speaking to one of the worst places in the country in a well-being sense.
Yes.
So I've moved to the least happy.
I like how they describe poverty as stubborn as well.
Yeah, it is though, isn't it?
You're being real stubborn, you, not
it's
earning
hard.
More money.
It's hard to get out of.
Mm.
So I guess it is stubborn. It's not letting you free of it.
Yeah.
It's grabbing you by the ankle and going, don't you dare enjoy your life.
Yeah.
Not for a single second. Oh, you want to move to London? Get to Islington.
Quite a sad episode.
No, it's
one,
not
isn't it?
Sad. It's not sad because you don't have to be earning a lot of money to be happy.
No.
It does help. Of course it helps. Of course it helps more than any other thing in the world.
Yeah,
and
it's
I think a lot
lovely.
Of mental health issues could be solved by people having stable incomes and not having to worry about
millionaires.
Housing and food costs and electricity, etc., etc. But what I'm saying is I've learned a lot.
Mm.
As someone who does talk about class and stuff, I've learned a lot from this Wigan Today article.
Yeah. Well, I think we're all going to leave this podcast better informed.
Yeah. And no, we might not be skilled in it, but we'll be Semi-skilled.
I find it hard to say semi-skilled without thinking of skimmed.
Semi-skimmed, semi-skilled, semi-skimmed, semi-skilled.
Yeah, that's helped, I think.
How much? Ian, what the hell is going on in the north? Well, you know this.
This is a story from February 2020.
Where?
So there was a storm in the air called Storm Dennis.
Oh,
they would always name the storms after people. I don't know if you were affected by Storm Dennis or if you remember it, but I want to tell you about a man who will remember Storm Dennis, a British man called Storm Dennis.
No.
First name Storm, second name Dennis, who was trolled by people begging him not to ruin their homes.
Yeah,
a British man whose name is Storm Dennis has been bombarded with abusive messages as a storm named Dennis, and he's got two S's on the end of Dennis on his name. The storm just won. Yeah, people
storm
have just been
Denny.
Messaging him. But he's Dennis. This is Denny.
Wow.
But the furniture maker from Whitby has received more than 50 threatening Facebook messages from people angry about the weather.
Sorry, but just hang on. So if a storm was coming, their response is to go on Facebook
to see if it's on there.
Presumably to find the actual storm.
Yeah. Is Storm Dennis on Facebook? Probably thinking, I bet they won't be. I bet they won't be. Too busy ruining people's life. Oh, they are.
I'm going to send this storm a piece of my bloody mind, actually.
How can wind and rain have a profile? You should blow the keys hard enough. You could set stuff up. Here's some of the messages. Hey, Storm Dennis, don't be showing your face at weekend. I don't want to be blown over and be rolling downhill like Sonic the Hedgehog.
Ooh, what a
light-hearted one. Hi, can you do me a favour and try avoiding West Yorkshire this week? We've already had a battering with the weather this past week, thanks. Leave your missus before having a storm. Don't be so selfish to others. Go anger management before the weekend, I'm begging you. Yeah, I mean...
It just goes to show, doesn't it, that improv comedy is harder than it looks.
Yeah. I guess they must just think... Everyone who sent that message will be thinking... I bet no one else has sent him a message.
Yeah. But that last one feels like he's gone, oh, hang on, somebody has sent that message. I guess I need to up it a bit.
Yeah.
I need to add more characters into the story. The storm's got a wife.
Yeah.
And the reason he's angry is because his wife's doing his head in. So please
so
leave your wife. He's like, oh,
someone
God.
Going through a shit situation. Yeah. I'll tell you why a storm would be angry. Probably got a woman storm. Probably two clouds that were normal and then this woman cloud been going on at him and that woman cloud's been hanging out with some of her mates too often and it's male mates from like cloud work and stuff and she's a horrible bitch to him sometimes and he's getting up with the wind and he's blowing everyone. Basically, he wants to be the storm.
Yeah.
He wants to be blowing people's house down.
Yeah.
He wants to be blowing down the house of the person who had an affair with his wife. And he's tried to express that through a message.
To a fictional...
No, this guy's real.
No, that guy's real, but I mean a personified storm.
Yep.
To a real person, but he's talking to the real person like he's a personified storm.
Yep.
And this is why it's so important for people to get access to therapy.
Yeah. There's another one here which isn't as fun. Heard you're sending a storm this weekend. Don't bother, we don't want it, wanker.
Well, that person does sound
brutal.
Like he thinks he is talking to the storm.
Yeah. We don't want it, wanker.
Maybe he doesn't know it's a storm. Like, maybe he's just been told Storm Dennis is going to ruin the weekend.
Oh, yeah,
and he's
yeah.
like, who the fuck
he's
is Storm
He's just seen the
Dennis?
Headline and just thought, I'm going to get on to this guy.
Don't come round here.
Yeah.
With your windy drama.
Windy drama.
Oh, your windy drama.
Like a sort of flatulence episode of Corrie. A windy drama.
The only Coronation Street character I can think of is Fred Elliott. I don't think he's in it anymore.
No. But I used to like him.
He might even have passed away. I don't know.
Did he have a catchphrase?
He was a butcher, wasn't he? And he had Ashley.
Yeah, he used to go, I say. So if he's angry, and someone would be like, someone's just thrown a brick through your shop window, be like, I say, a brick through the window. He'd do like that.
God, fascinating. I'm glad you looked that up, actually.
The writing. All right, mate, fucking hell, let's learn about the social classes in Wigan. Fucking history lesson. Social classes.
C1, C2, D.
Fucking hell. This guy's called Storm.
No, it's good.
That's
for
what
that.
People listen to this podcast
I get
for.
It.
Bullshit.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Terry's Chocolate Orange. And now it's time for our special guest. We're joined by Celia AB, who is originally from Paris, which is the capital of France.
Is it?
And she moved to Birmingham, which I believe is the capital of England. Celia, Paris is in the north of France. My first question, I'm coming in at you fast. Is there a north-south divide in France?
There is a Paris versus the rest of France divide.
Oh.
I grew up on the outskirts of Paris, but I do count myself as a Parisian. And we do tend to think of the rest of France as trash.
Okay.
I mean, I don't anymore, but there was definitely, growing up, we were told Paris is great, then there's nothing, and then the beach.
Right.
I'm looking at a map of France. You know, when you like zoom out and the key cities are sort of highlighted. Doesn't look like there's not a lot around Paris until you get to Geneva. I don't believe that's even in France.
I think you've zoomed a bit too far.
I've zoomed well
you've zoomed
out
too
here.
Far.
Until you get to JFK.
What made you choose Birmingham?
Well, I didn't really. That's the truth of it. It's
okay.
I was meant to go to Bristol because I'd watched loads of Skins. And for ages, I used to watch Skins, and for ages I thought I liked drugs. But it turns out I like friendship. And when I got to England, it turns out that Bristol, very expensive place to live in.
Yeah.
And I had really, really, really extended family living in Birmingham who offered me, this was my 19th birthday present, living in the spare room in their council house in the south of Birmingham for 2 weeks, looking after their children was my birthday present.
Oh.
And then I just never left.
That Ooh, sounded yeah. like a present until the looking after the kids bit came in.
For me, it stopped sounding like a present quite a lot before that, to be honest. if I'm completely honest, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
The thing is when I moved to Birmingham, I didn't realise that everyone in the UK thought it was bad. So I was really enjoying it.
I know a few people who don't like it, but I always have fun when I'm like gigging there.
Yeah.
I like the underpass at the roundabout. Everyone
By
seems
degree.
To find it scary. Yeah. I love it. The smell of piss. The sort of, there's like a Chinese monument in the middle of it. I don't know why. I love that.
Ian, also, if everyone else finds it scary and you don't, then you're the scary
thing.
Oh,
yeah, it's because I scream as
I... going, the Chinese monument! Yeah. Pissing everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to walk past that guy.
Yeah.
In China, they have an underpass with a big ball ring in the middle. Yeah, so I just kind of stayed, and then I got into stand-up, and then I was stuck.
And that's it.
Yeah. You can't leave now.
That's it now.
I mean, to be fair, every time I go to France, I think, well, this is obviously like better. And I don't want to leave.
I think English people think that when they go to any country.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, do you feel like living in London, like, do you miss the north from being in London?
Yeah.
It's not a resounding yes, is it?
Do you feel like when you're from like the north or a place that or like the anything that isn't London, when someone asks you what you think of home, you almost have to put this thing of like, oh yeah, I do miss it. It's wonderful. You almost have to like sell it to people.
But really you're like, I love Deliveroo. I love the tube.
Yeah.
Get me on that tube ordering Deliveroo.
That is one of the big things when you go up north and you go on like Deliveroo and there's like four options. Two of them are like those takeaways that do fish and chips, pizzas and burgers. And you're like, you can't be good at all three of them. In your time gigging around the country, what's your experience of the north? Do you have any favourite northern places or do you point blank refuse to gig there?
So my first impression of the north was I've always loved the accents. Well, I've always loved the Birmingham accent, and then I love the Liverpool, Manchester, Hull. I love the Hull accent.
Oh, yes, please. I think it's great for a Parisian to be saying she loves the Hull accent. Yes, yes, thank you. This is the way around it should be, actually.
And also the bad thing is that because it's my second language, I don't know if we've covered the fact that I'm French yet. The way my accent works is I tend to sort of mimic someone else's accent. Like I tend to mirror it without wanting to. And I remember dating this person from Liverpool, and for about 2 weeks I had this weird Liverpool French accent.
Oh, I can't imagine what that would be.
No.
I know. It was like only dogs could hear it. It was like... it was...
Wow.
And is there like a northwest, northeast divide?
Yeah, a little bit. Like I think I doubt like Yorkshire and Lancashire are a bit like, we're the proper Northerners, and they're like, no, we're the proper
people
Northerners.
Just hate each other don't they? Like north, south, and then you get up north and then the east, west. Yeah. And then on the west coast, Liverpool and Manchester hate each other.
Yeah.
Like, and then there'll be different areas of Manchester. Well, I mean, there's gang warfare. So there'll be people there go, I don't fucking like them lot.
Yeah. And even reckon, in Hull, even like East family. And West Hull.
But then can you all agree that you hate the South?
Yeah, then we can so, all yeah. hate London.
Yeah. Is there a place out, you were saying that Parisians like maybe look down on the rest of France. Is there a main rivalry that Parisians would have where they're like, oh, fucking, fucking Lyon. Is there like a big French rivalry?
I think the rivalry is like the rest of France thinks of like Paris as arrogant. I haven't quite heard as much rivalry before I moved to England, where it just seems like every town, like you said, has something against the one next to it. Like, yeah. I've never experienced anything quite like it. Yeah, everyone likes to think of where they're from as like both a shithole and also the greatest place in the country.
Mm. Yes, 100%.
Is that fair?
I think that's completely fair.
You can go, oh God, it's shit here, isn't it? And then someone who isn't from there goes, yeah, it is shit. And you're like, hang on, what's your fucking problem?
Yeah. You want to say that to my face? Mm.
So basically, there is like a part of France. I'm French Algerian, so I'm three quarters Algerian, one quarter French. The one quarter French part of me isn't actually from Paris. We're from the north of France, which is about a place called Lille, which actually has the strongest accent in the whole of France. Oh. They're called the Ch'ti. So there was a film that was made about the people up north in France. I do actually, I think now that there is a divide because the Ch'ti are seen as some of the dumbest people in the country.
What a statement. Great, yeah, carry on.
And it's because, I mean, the film that was made about them was so offensive. They just have strong accents. That's the only thing that differentiates them from the rest of the country. But they were depicted as just the dumbest people. Like, and I remember, like, my grandma being really offended at it. The film is called Bienvenue chez les Ch'tis, and it is... I wouldn't say it's worth a watch. It's worth a watch of the trailer.
Okay.
Well, what I'd like to say is, I think if you say the title again, and then we'll just say good luck to our listeners Googling it. No disrespect to the listeners of this podcast. They ain't got a chance Googling that.
I don't know. The first word was welcome, right?
Can you just say it one more time?
Bienvenue chez les Ch'tis.
Okay. I'm going to have a go.
Celia, how would you say in French the Northern News podcast?
Les Actualités du Nord. Le podcast des Actualités du Nord. Les Faits Divers du Nord.
Oh, I like that.
It sounded a bit like the Fiddly, there you go.
The Fiddly, there you go. The Avenue Shale, Fiddly, there you go.
I love the idea of a single person in France listening to this podcast. Really?
Being like, finally, something for me. Le fiddly, there you go. Do you know what I always think, which I know is definitely really naive, but I always think the whole accent is quite similar to French in the way that you say eggs.
Yeah, I don't think that, Amy.
No, but is it... Say eggs. Is it like earth?
Earth.
But, and then...
That's true, actually.
But we wouldn't say earth for eggs, but we'd be like earth. You're like, no, earth.
So you think a French person would hear you saying, oh, no, and be like, eggs. She's just saying eggs.
She wants some lovely eggs. That beautiful Parisian, earth. Do you know what I mean, though?
Is this the most anyone's ever said the word egg?
There's summit there, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
There's summit there.
Well, thank you for coming on the podcast, Sally, and sorry.
Fiddly, there you go. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. It has been a pleasure.
Oh, God.
No, I can't. I'm so sorry. I wish I could,
but
I can't.
Sorry.
I'm trying my best.
Be better.
I know. I'm going to. I've got all the apps, Celia. I've got all the apps, but none of them stick in my head.
Well, next time we're at a restaurant, you can order eggs.
Earths. Loads of earths. Loads and loads of earths.
Yeah, the waiter is not going to be happy.
No, we're getting chucked out of that one straight away. It's
Thanks
been
for having
such
me,
a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Celia. Au revoir. Au revoir.
Ooh, me feet are wrecking.
But Amy, please can you tell me what's going on in Hull?
I will. And it's a story that is still in development. So as this comes out, things might have changed. But the headline is, it'll be a crying shame if it goes. Hull shoppers share their views on potential Wilko closure.
Oh, Wilko's.
Wilko. 400 branches at risk across the country.
Fucking hell. And 400.
400
of that
Wilko's.
Pointless shop. It's pointless. I know people could lose their jobs, but who's ever gone, oh, I must get down to Wilko's? For what?
Well,
they've got
the
nothing
problem.
You can't get somewhere else.
That's exactly the problem. So there's so many people in this article being like, oh, it will be absolute, I will be gutted if it goes. And then they'll say things like, you know, I pop in once a year and buy a toilet brush. You know, and you think, yeah. Well, that's why it's shutting, because you're not going enough and you're not buying enough stuff there. Miriam Haynes, 76, said, it'll be such a loss if it goes. I'm always going in for odd bits and bobs that you can't seem to find anywhere else. I mean, what else is there like it? There's Home Bargains across the road. She answers her own question.
Answers her own question, but also across the road.
Across the road.
Where else is there like it? I mean, there's one immediately opposite. There's a shop immediately opposite.
There's a shop you have to walk past to get to it.
Yeah.
That does everything that it does, maybe cheaper. Mm.
I mean, where if you can't go to Clark's Shoes, where are you going to go? Shoes on across the road.
Yes. Yeah, Miriam, you probably do that. And everyone's saying it'll be a shame if it goes. But nobody's saying that they actually go there very often or for anything substantial. There's another quote here that says, it'll be a crying shame if it goes. I pop in at least once a week for some toothpaste or detergent. Or what have you. It's like, yeah, if you're going in once a week to buy some toothpaste now and again, no wonder it's closing.
If you're listing three things you get from a shop and the third one is, and what have you, or whatever, I'd be like, why is... Like, if you said, like, oh, why do you love your partner? What do you love about me? Like, oh, yeah, they're kind, they're sporty, and, you know, all sorts of stuff.
Particularly if the partner was about to die, it's like, I'd be absolutely gutted if my partner died because they're tall and they've got shoes and then like other stuff as well, probably. Oh dear.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on in Hull. So I've got my fingers crossed. And I've got my toothpaste and detergent ready to order.
Good.
In the trolley.
It is. It's hard to not to just say to people, you can just get it all online.
We shouldn't.
I know you shouldn't, but like, just pay van drivers better. We'll all just have a van. We'll all just end up picking up our own stuff. Yeah. Why can't we just order it from a big Argos, basically? You drive out an hour into the countryside, give me all my stuff. Just big Argos.
This is a terrible idea.
Oh, God. Can't do anything.
No, I'm sorry. I just don't want to own a van and drive an hour to get some toothpaste and detergent or what have you.
Ponce.
I'm a ponce. I'm in the AB section.
Up. Oh, on your ivory tower. Oh, I don't want a van. I want a convertible. Get over yourself.
Oh, Yorkshire puddings.
Can you tell me what's been happening in Goole, please?
Listen, it's another week where not a lot has happened in Goole.
Mm.
So, I've Googled Goole Man in inverted commas.
Oh, yeah.
And I've gone onto the news section. I'll just say no if it's a story that involves either a serious crime or a loss of life.
Okay.
And I just want to get across how me researching stories for this podcast is. No, 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 no. We've done that one. That's about trolleys. No. Hmm.
Oh, yeah.
An animal dies in this one.
All right.
But that's a possibility. And then, no, no, no.
Okay.
So the funniest one on the first page of Google is smirking man paid for tattoos instead of medicine for his dying dog.
Fuck me.
It's hard finding stories about Goole. Not only is he getting tattoos instead of medicine for his dying dog, he's smirking.
Ooh.
That's the worst thing about him.
A real smirker, a real Tommy smirker.
Yeah.
What tattoos is he getting? It's not of his dog, is it? Saying R.I.P.
Oh, fucking hell. It says, a Goole man caused unnecessary suffering to his wretched dog. So I imagine that's a quote from him and not the judge. You've caused unnecessary suffering to this wretched, horrible shit dog. Let's get to the tattoos. Come on, tattoos have got to be funny, haven't they? Well, they're all focusing on the animal abuse and no one's talking about the tattoos he's had. There's two elements to this story, you know? The dog was ill, the dog was sick, he's a wretched dog. What's his tattoos? Come on.
Some of us are trying to do a light-hearted podcast here.
Yeah, metal
light. At least put in the juicy details of what tattoos the man's got.
Yeah, here we go. We're getting towards the man now.
Okay.
He accepts he has failed to ensure the animal received appropriate care, said Mrs. Johnson in mitigation. Little Fair considered that... it's going back about the dog now. He didn't have money to look after the dog. The dog belonged to his ex-partner and ended up with him. It was not a situation he wanted. So once again, it's the partner's fault. The partner's got an excess dog. Yeah, actually, no mention of the tattoos, but he was made to do 300 hours of unpaid community work. He doesn't have money to pay for the dog. And they've gone, tell you what he should do, £300 of unpaid work.
Unpaid work, yeah.
Give him a Sunday job.
Job.
Give him a paper round or something. He's also fined £445. He's going to spend that on tattoos.
Also, if he's got no money, and then you're making him do 400 hours of unpaid work, and then hitting him with a fine.
He's going to turn up to that unpaid work day one with a face tattoo. You'd be like, you told me you didn't have enough money for that fine at the minute.
How have you got that money? I had to sell the dog for parts.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, great.
Oh, no.
Your dog's just a lung now. A lung on a lead. The only bit he hasn't sold yet is a lung.
That's what he's got a tattoo of.
Yeah.
A lung on a lead.
So, bleak old story, but I'm going to go further into the past and try and find some positivity about Goole.
And don't forget, you can send us in stories.
Yeah, please.
Specifically...
if you're from Goole.
Specifically if you're from Goole. But you can email them in or send them in on Instagram or Twitter. And we really love... we've been using a lot of them on Patreon to talk about. Also, sign up to Patreon or Apple Subs, of course. Get a bit more juicy, juicy content.
Juicy content, please.
Thank you so much for listening once again. And thank you so much to our special guest, Celia AB.
You've got to go and check Celia out live. She's gigging all over the place.
All over the place.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. See you next time for more...
Northern News.
News.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, everyone. It's Ian Smith here from Northern News, the podcast you are currently listening to. And I'm here to tell you that I'm recording my multi-award-nominated solo show, Crushing, on Tuesday, the 4th of June at the Pleasance Theatre in London. But I'd love to see some Northern News listeners there. We're recording the show. It's going to live online forever. So the more supportive a crowd, the better. Hope to see you there.